Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to Net at Night and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Sarah Lane and Leo Laporte, episode 174, recorded October 26th, 2010. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I am Leo Laporte.
And I'm Sarah Lane, filling in for Amber MacArthur.
Also from Petaluma, California.
Yeah, I'm sitting right next to you.
I could tell. I see you there. Oh! Oh, gosh, I've never touched
IRL.
I've actually never touched a host before.
Well,
That's a disconcerting.
It was electric.
It was. There was a little zzz.
Yeah.
Like that.
Sweaty, too. Just sweaty.
Hey. I can't help it. I'm a big man.
I'm just a nervous woman. So it's hard to fill Amber's shoes on Net at Night, but I try. You know, it's always fun to be in her place.
Amber's really unhappy that she's not here today because we're going to do something that Amber and I like. But it's appropriate that you be here for this, Sarah Lane, because you introduced me to it and I introduced Amber to it. And it's really spreading like a virus.
It's quite the internet phenomenon.
They said 100,000 signups in their first week.
In less than a week.
Less than a week. And it was beta when
that was a week ago.
It had just come out of beta last week, I think, when you told me about it.
Yeah. So we're talking, of course, about Instagram, which is, it's an iOS app. Well, iPhone, because you need cameras. Big part of it.
Well, I'm running it on iPad, but you still have to get the picture
over from something else.
Right.
That's sweeping the tech world like wildfire. And it's nice because it's something... we can get into it a little bit more when we get Kevin and Mike on the show, but it's like everything you like about Flickr and social networking
and Twitter
and simplifying all of it.
All together.
Yeah.
It is.
You can't really do this with any other service without it being more complicated.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's really moblogging. And in fact, I have a very similar program on Android called PicPlease that I've used for a long time, PicPlz. They've added features to PicPlease to make it very much like Instagram. But there's and we all know this in the business. There is something, and it's very difficult to say, it's ineffable, that makes a program capture people's imagination and it goes viral. And you don't see it all the time. I saw it with Twitter when Twitter first came out. You see it with Flickr when Flickr first came out.
That's true.
And this is one of those, isn't it?
It's like, I mean, I hate to say something is at all, you know, the Foursquare of something else because that's such an overused term, but it's why Foursquare is still the location leader.
Yeah.
There's not a really good reason for that.
No, Gowalla's great, but it just didn't catch it.
In fact, when Gowalla first came out,
it's better.
You know, it looks better, it works better. But that's just the way it goes, especially in this space.
Well, I would love to analyze it somehow and figure out how one. We're going to talk. This is all by way of leading up to. We're going to talk to the founders of Instagram,
which is very exciting.
INSTAGR.AM. If you want to take a look, but this is one thing they did that I thought was very interesting. I'm going to ask them about this. Is there really isn't a web interface very much?
No,
it's an iPhone app, and that's it.
It's an iPhone app, and that's it. And I actually I hope that they give us some news on how they will build the web space out a little bit because you know when I go to Instagram. /Sarah Lane, that's my name on Instagram.
It's just
can go
profile.
Anywhere.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you can, it, through Twitter,
you can't even
you can
see all your
little,
pictures. You can
you
only
click to permalink pictures,
yeah.
But you really have to use the app itself. And I mean, I suppose that's partly by design, but that'll annoy people.
We're going to talk to them about it. I've got many questions. And of course, we're going to congratulate them on their success because they came out of the box like gangbusters. Doesn't mean you're going to be successful. In fact, I'm sad to say one of our friends' companies, dig.com, which everybody claimed is going to be huge. In fact, remember, Kevin Rose, our good buddy, was on the cover of Business Week, the $300 million man.
Well, it was huge. And I mean,
but they never monetized. I just read an interview that Jay Adelson did in which he said, you know, nobody really ever came along to us and offered us bucks. We had a week of talks with Fox, but there was no. And then I've heard Kevin say, oh, no, Google offered to buy us for $80.
Jay Adelson, who's the former CEO, also former CEO of Vision 3 at one time, He and Kevin have differing stories about that, and I'm not sure why, because obviously they were on the same page when Kevin was the founder and Digg was running the company.
Jay was the CEO.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know why they have different versions of that story.
But Jay always said there was never a big offer. Kevin said there was. I wish I had sold then. Well, the story today is that 37%, 25 employees are being laid off at Digg. They lost their chief revenue officer, a good friend of ours, a guy we knew at Tech TV, who later went to John Mattel's Federated Media and then joined Digg last year to turn its advertising efforts into a big success. And he did, Chaz Edwards. He's left as well. So they've lost 25 people. They've lost, in fact, I think some others. They got a new CEO just a few like a month or two ago.
Yeah, about a month ago.
And I think Mike, their new CEO, was probably brought in to do these layoffs.
Well, and this is not long after a smaller round of layoffs. This round of layoffs in particular, I haven't actually spoken to anybody directly. I'm actually not sure. I'm sure I know some of the folks because it's a small town after all, and I know a lot of the people who work at Digg. But the previous round of layoffs...
10% the first time.
Yeah. So, and those, I knew a chunk of those folks. And, you know, it's always tough. It's always tough when people, you know, get laid off and they're, you know, they're not sure they did something wrong. And this is obviously, I think everyone across the board agrees that, listen, they've got money issues if they keep this many employees and you have to downsize. I've been through this.
This is, we were through it at Tech TV.
We were through it at Tech TV. I went through it at Revision 3.
You were one of the people laid off.
I was.
The new CEO, and I got his name wrong, it's not Mike, it's Matt Williams.
Yes.
Said that this
not
will
not the baseball
allow,
player, different Matt Williams.
Oh, yeah, that's Matt. He's a third baseman for the San Francisco
Giants.
Yeah,
he's really done well for himself.
Yeah. he kind of looks like Matt Williams, come to think of it. Anyway, Matt Williams said that this is as a step toward profitability. And you know that the pressure comes from, of course, the board and the investors who are saying you can't lose money. They made, according to TechCrunch, their revenue, not their profits, but their revenue was $15 million a year, but they still lost money.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, I mean, you run a company. It's the employees. I mean,
that's what
salaries,
the staff is very expensive.
That's the expensive part of a company. And when you've got 80 folks or however many Digg had, you know, at its peak, that's a lot of folks.
Right.
You know, it's certainly not the biggest startup internet company out there. I mean, Zynga has like thousands of employees, but
did you see that Zynga is now valued higher on its valuation is higher than Electronic Arts?
Yeah,
they can afford 1,000 employees.
Yeah, I think it's 2,000.
Yeah,
I think they actually have 2,000 employees.
Digg right now will have, after the layoffs, the second round of layoffs, will have 42 people. That's still big. And in fact, if I had to carry 42 people, I would need $15 million to pay for it.
42 people seems like a lot of folks when we have what? 10, 12?
Yeah,
regulars?
We have 12 full-time employees. And
so
a
it's
lot
all
of,
relative. Depends
we spend about 18 or 20,000 a month on other, on the co-hosts. They get a revenue share. So there's a considerable amount of money going out, but we're still profitable. We've always been profitable.
You know what's really interesting about this Digg story? And I mean, of course, Kevin is a friend of both of ours.
Love Kevin. Yeah. Kevin started on the Screensavers. It was an IT guy.
I dated him for like 5 years. So like,
Let's let's tell the truth. He was the great love of your life.
He was the former great love of my life.
He was
now we're buddies. We're buddies.
And that ended very nicely. You guys are still friends.
Yes, of course. That's the most
important there was that knife throwing incident, but that's all gone now, right?
Yeah, we're done. It's just butter
just
knives.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I always admired that because you two, it was a great passionate relationship and it ended.
We were kids.
You were young. What did you know?
Things change.
You thought he was going to be worth $300 million. Now, did he actually? You know, he tweeted his new car, and it was this was like a Ferrari. He didn't really buy a fancy
car.
Audi
gave him an R8 to play around.
The R8, but it wasn't his to own. He's still driving a moped. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think he's got a Mini Cooper. It's a very nice car. You know, Kevin is doing just fine.
No, he's all right. So there was a rumor. I think Mike Arrington told me this, and I don't know how true it is. Or no, maybe it was Calacanis that. When Kevin got the second round of investment that he took, Greylock is the big investor in Digg, that he took $1 million out, as is often happens with founders, they take a little cash. And so I don't know if that's the case, but I would imagine he took something out and he's probably doing all right.
Yeah, he's also an angel investor.
And he does have some Gowalla and Foursquare are two of his investments. He's doing all right.
NG Moco,
which is
just got sold.
$400 million. Yeah,
so there you go. I mean, not to talk about Kevin's bank account too much, but I mean, it's tough for us to talk about something like this because this isn't just some company. It's a company by somebody that we know and we've known a lot of folks that have worked there. What's interesting, though, And I can't think of another instance, at least in this last sort of economic downturn, where so many just recently laid off, as in, you know, the ink's not even dry on the pink slip yet. So many people have been offered jobs via Twitter.
Didn't you love that? Joe Stump, who is a former dig engineer who now runs Simple Geo.
Yes.
Was on Twitter.
He was kind of acting as like internet headhunter.
It was amazing. I mean, this was happening in real time on Twitter. You could watch Joe tweet references for these guys.
And I mean, this is like, not only was, Twitter, for example, Gadget, Ryan Block's company, but Foursquare, Groupon, NGMoco.
I would say anybody who wanted a job at this point got one.
It was almost to the point where, you know, Joe, who's also a very nice guy that we know, at the end of the day sort of went, I guess the lesson to be learned is if you're a company, good luck, because the competition is really stiff for these guys. I mean, the engineers have probably never, I've never seen so many engineers be in such high demand. Yep. Rather than all the companies around Dig going, yeah, you know, we're feeling it too, buddy. Wish we could help. It's like, we just got money. Yep. We're on the up and up. We're growing. We want to hire you. Yep. So that, it bodes well for engineers. Wish I was an engineer.
Yeah. So if you have the skills, you're not going to be out of work for very long. So this also shows what is, you know, sometimes people complain about the San Francisco tech scene, and how, ingrained and incestuous it is, but this is one of the reasons why people stick around here. Mm-hmm. Is you have friends in every company and you move around, and I mean, this is really neat. This is really neat. This is a happy ending story for a lot of these people.
I think it is too. Yeah. And I hope that Dig's refocusing efforts.
Do you think there's a chance?
Well, I think that Dig upset a lot of their core audience. I mean, this is something that we all understand.
Have we seen numbers, though? I mean, a few people, you know, 30 or 40 people can make enough noise that it looks like everybody's abandoning Dig. Have we seen numbers about Dig's traffic? Has it actually gone down?
I don't know offhand how much, but yes, I believe they've seen a bit of a fall off.
Okay.
But I think it's...
I think it's going back up.
I think it's also, it's a great example of a few people making the most noise and scaring everybody else.
Yep.
This happens not only on the internet. This is just the way that humanity can work sometimes. And it makes everyone kind of scared. And there are a lot of other, I think it's less about the fact that Dig's not doing well. It's just that there are a lot of other services right now. Dig has implemented changes that allow it to act more like other services, and probably in a way that it should have been in the beginning, but now everyone's already used to it, so it seems like a catch-up thing.
Dig said, it officially said that traffic was down for the first 2 weeks of the new Dig 4 release, but that it came back up.
And probably with different folks, too. I mean, a lot of their...
I use it more.
I do, too, because for me, the way that it's laid out makes more sense to me.
Me too.
I'd like to know more about what you're digging.
Exactly. I want to follow people.
The Dig community as a whole, because I have more in common with you. It does change the fundamental way that the company works, though. So it does remain to be seen. I mean, I think this is all, you know, if you ask Kevin, if he was here right now, I know he'd say, this is what we have to do. It's part of rebranding and rebuilding. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And he's right. It's just, you know, it's tough. It's tough to lay people off.
So it's Back to the Future Day. Happy Back to the Future
Day. You're welcome.
Somebody on Instagram actually posted the Back to the Future. I guess he was watching it in a movie theater because a lot of movie theaters are showing it.
It's the day that he didn't actually go back to the future.
It's the day
he got zapped out of the present.
Right.
At Pine Mall or Twin Pines Mall.
And he got sent back to the 50s,
because
right?
The Libyan terrorists were after Doc?
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's right.
It's pretty funny. So this is a typical nerd thing. Happy Back to the Future Day.
Happy starting to go Back to the Future Day. You're actually not back in that farmhouse yet.
Are there any more Back to the Future dates ahead of us?
November 5th, this is the day that he goes back into 1955.
That's the most important one. That's the big day.
I feel like it's a little bit bigger. This is the beginning of the metamorphosis into the past.
Okay.
Have you seen the movie?
I've seen it.
You're
many times.
You're kind of looking at me blankly.
No, I love the movie. It's a great movie. In fact, they just released the all three of them on Blu-ray, so I'm gonna get that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but Marty McFly and the whole thing, and I love that. But I don't remember. I have to admit, I don't remember the days, the dates, when he goes back to and all that.
Well, the reason that it's so ingrained in some people's heads is, first of all, I've seen the movie 400,000 times.
Right.
And it's also on the DeLorean, you know, because he's like typing in stuff and he's got to go 88 miles per hour in order to...
Right. You know, it's funny.
Activate the 1.21
gigawatts. It's on people's minds, and I don't know if it's because of these days or what, but they're re-releasing the movies. Some theaters are showing the movies.
Yeah, I think Friday there's like a midnight Back to the Future showing in the city.
And I just saw an ad for BlackBerry. Have you seen their ad campaign where people are looking up stuff on their BlackBerry to see if it's true or not and how the world would have been changed?
Uh-huh.
And I just saw, maybe it was a parody. Yeah, I think it was a parody where the guys are at the Back to the Sea enchantment. They reenacted Back to the Future. That's
enchantment Under the Sea.
Yeah. And he starts playing the Chuck Berry song, and the guy says, guys holds up Madomi or sound, whatever that sound thing, and says, wait a minute, that's a Chuck Berry song. So it's good they didn't have smartphones back then.
Yeah, no kidding. I like that scene.
Twitter is doing okay.
Yeah, speaking of companies that are doing fine and hiring... perhaps dig engineers, in fact. Twitter is now up to 300 employees.
Whew.
Last year, they were 200, less than a year ago. So, yeah. I mean, they've enjoyed rapid growth. And
right.
They had an office down at South Park, which is historically a very startup-y area down by the Giants ballpark in San Francisco.
Love South Park.
Me too.
That area.
I know. It's unique.
It's cute. There's great restaurants. You don't even know you're in the city. Small town.
And, you know, I don't know about you, Leo, but even when we were working at Tech TV,
we'd walk
South
over
Park
there.
Was kind of, you know, it was a little edgy. There's a few needles in the park. And now it's like, you know, Shishi and the microbreweries and all the startup folks. Anyway, Twitter... became too big for their britches in South Park, and they moved.
Where are they?
They're on like 4th and Folsom. Still in Soma.
Do you think, the Silicon Valley was originally San Jose area, mm-hmm. and that's where all the companies, Intel, Apple, IBM, were all in that area, down the southern San Francisco Bay Area. And in this Web 2.0 renaissance, they're all in San Francisco, aren't they?
Well, not all of them, but...
Almost all.
The little guys in, you know, the little loft spaces, there sure are a lot in San Francisco. And it's funny, I think it was Robert Scoble on Twitter who was talking to somebody the other day, like, you know, why are you saying the Valley of San Francisco? Because it really isn't. And it's true that geographically it isn't, but it's hard to talk about the Valley without talking about the entire area.
Because
we're not talking about San Jose anymore.
I say Petaluma is the northernmost part of the Silicon Valley.
Well, I agree with you.
In the way it is. We're the northernmost, we're the zenith, we're the peak, we're at the top.
Well, you know, something that I know that you've come across in Petaluma also is, for the first time, and you know, this may have been the case in the first internet bubble in the late 90s, but San Francisco real estate prices, you know, leasing prices to get a big space where you can fit a lot of engineers and some servers is lower than it is in Palo Alto.
Although,
it doesn't make sense.
It's booming now. And this is an interesting thing. I have a friend who sells commercial real estate in San Francisco. And you're right. It was getting down to $1 a foot or less. And then...
Secrets out?
Well, because of all of this Web 2.0 stuff, of all the regions in the country, commercial real estate in San Francisco is starting to really heat up.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw Zynga just took over the old Tech TV building.
Yes.
And that's several hundred thousand square feet.
With 2,000 employees, I mean, they must have the whole building.
Right, right.
You know, we had several floors for
we
about
had two floors, and there was Sega was there, and a lot of it was vacant still.
Right, right.
Not anymore. It's filled. It's Zynga Town.
Isn't that funny that Farmville took over our old fifth floor?
I can't decide how I feel about that.
I can't either.
But now...
Maybe someone will invite me into my old cubicle.
Wouldn't that be funny? Your
I'd
old
like
cubicle?
To see it. Yeah, I would.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, over by the bird cage.
Bad memories. The bird cage.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's all gone.
Well, the memories from Tech TV are good.
Well, I have better memories in the studio than I do of the offices. So Tech TV was kind of weird.
That was the fun part.
It was split
studio.
Into... Right. So at one point I stopped going to Townsend.
Yeah.
So we had... This was really stupid. This is one of the reasons Tech TV is no more, I think.
History, everybody.
They had an office space in this 2000.
Big one.
Yeah, 650 Townsend.
Mm-hmm.
Was big, huge.
Huge.
But there were no studios there.
No.
The studios were like a mile away, right? You couldn't walk there easily. It was a mile, mile and a half, 2 miles.
It was a long walk.
It was through a bad neighborhood.
And under the freeway.
It was a bad neighborhood.
Nobody did that.
Yeah. So they had a studio in one place. They had offices in another place. And they paid well over a couple hundred thousand a year for vans 24/7 circling.
Right.
Terrible, terrible story.
But as you know, one of the things, you know, I would always get when I would complain that I was getting parking tickets because I didn't have a parking spot at either place. And it
Nor
was,
did I.
You know, because it's San Francisco and there isn't any parking.
Right.
And it was 2 hour. People go, Sarah, use the shuttle. It's at our disposal. It's like, hey, man, I work on a live television show.
I can't wait.
I don't go by shuttle schedules.
You saw that scene in Broadcast News where she runs across the studio.
Really, that's how us. It is.
And you can't. Oh, where's the shuttle? I got 15. No.
Well, the shuttle guy had to go get gas. He's 15 minutes late.
No.
Not going to work for me.
Not going to work.
Now
not
I need a DeLorean.
Anyway, I don't know how I was wondering. So Zynga's in the business space.
Yes.
But I wonder, is that studio space? It was a church for a while. Is it still
You're talking about on 55 on York
Hawthorne,
Street.
Or York Street, rather. Yeah.
I thought it became a Spanish language.
So somebody's in there?
I don't know.
We should go over there. We should
I walked by the other day and there was nothing that gave it away on the outside. And
all I remember.
I thought about knocking. And
all I remember is David Yount, who is now Erica Hill's husband.
Yes, they have two children.
That David Yount getting robbed of his laptop at gunpoint. They stuck the gum up his nose and said, give me your laptop, right in front of the studio.
You know, I went, Kevin and I actually, we went to Europe 1 year for like 3 weeks. And because parking in San Francisco is so bad, I parked in front of the studio.
And left it there?
I parked in front of the studio and left it there because there wasn't street cleaning or any, other issues with parking your car. Well, it worked okay.
Did you have any tires when you got back?
Well, my engine was missing.
What?
My engine was
the
gone.
The whole engine?
I got into, nothing was on the outside. The car was fine. It was a Honda Civic, easy to break into. And I got into the car and I turned the ignition and nothing's turning over. Open the hood, no engine.
They stole your engine?
The entire engine was gone.
Okay, there you go. That's
and I cried and cried.
That's
and that's my best story from York Street.
That is you, that takes the cake.
It does.
They didn't steal your wheels, your tires,
I mean,
your hubcaps.
It wasn't a gun at my nose.
No.
But it was, I mean, my entire car was taken without the car being taken.
They had to pull up a truck. They had to get a crane.
Well, you know, too, that they probably were like, this car is not going anywhere. This girl has not moved in weeks.
Yeah.
We're taking the engine.
That's hysterical.
I know.
I can't believe they did that.
I'll find you. It's the last thing I do. Honda thieves.
Somebody's got a stolen Honda.
Somebody's got a VTEC engine from a 1998 Honda.
What was the address? It was 535 York, right?
Yes.
I should Google 535 York. And while I do, why don't you tell us about Lady Gaga?
Yeah, so Lady Gaga, besides being awesome, or not awesome, depending on who you are, people seem to be very mixed on whether Gaga is true artiste.
We love Gaga, don't we? Who could not love Gaga?
Well, I think people who aren't into pop music and the spectacle of it, especially people who say, oh, Lady Gaga, she just wants to be the new Madonna, which, you know, I guess you could look at it that way. She's a phenomenon. She puts on a good show. Friends of mine just went and saw her at the San Jose Arena. They said it was amazing.
Oh, I'd love to see her.
And her music is, frankly, really good for karaoke. And karaoke people are my people. It's just the way it goes. Lady Gaga has a new record. She is the first person to hit 1 billion views on YouTube on her Lady Gaga channel. Now, it's interesting. She doesn't have the single most viewed video. That title still belongs to Justin Bieber.
Right. Thank you. Now, see, I don't like Justin Bieber.
Things we talk
Bieber.
About. Yeah. I don't like Justin Bieber either. No. He's not my cup of tea.
No. The devil take him.
Maybe when I was six, I would have liked him a lot.
Yeah.
But I could have birthed Justin Bieber, so I can't. It just doesn't work that way for me.
You could be his mother.
I could. Yep.
Wow.
Totally.
I could be his great-grandfather.
Yep. How's that make you feel? Makes you want to watch Baby on YouTube.
There it is. There's your Honda Civic. Still there, by the way.
That's exactly where that red car is. That's exactly where I was parked.
I'm telling you.
I thought I was such a badass. Look at me. Front seat. I'll just come home from the airport and drive home.
There, it's right there. Still in front.
Yep.
And
it looks the same.
There is no business there except for the Christian City Church. That is, and it's only on Sundays.
Strange place for a church, considering that there aren't, you know, well, any windows or stained glass.
If you think about the stuff that happened inside there, it really is very strange.
Oh, my. I can tell you some stories.
With this German Shepherd and the
makeup room.
Yeah.
Those doors locked.
Really? Really?
Yes.
I'm going to have to ask you off the air about that one.
I ate so many cups of soups at 535 York.
Oh, that was the, we knew that was the beginning and end with Tech TV when they took away our oatmeal.
They took away the oatmeal, and all we had was the Insta cup of soups, like we were a bunch of astronauts.
Yeah. They used to have free instant oatmeal. That was the only food stuff that was in the Tech TV building, was all the coffee you could drink and free instant oatmeal, and they took away the oatmeal.
Yeah.
And that's when we knew.
And people went, wait a second. This merger isn't going to go well.
I would take like three or four of those instant noodle packets to make one cup of soup that had any flavor at all.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
You want to talk about new CAPTCHA?
New CAPTCHA. Well, so how do you feel about CAPTCHA in general, Leo?
I hate CAPTCHA. I hate it with a passion.
Me too.
I understand the need for it. But we know that it's crackable. All the porn guys do is they get... they hack your system and they put a fake when you go when you go to a porn
very
site,
very upset about this, obviously. If you
were to go to a porn
site,
what they would do sometimes, what they do is, okay, they've got a CAPTCHA, like Yahoo doesn't want you to sign up for 8 million accounts by a robot, right?
Sure.
Which spammers do.
Of course.
So they put a CAPTCHA there so a, quote, human has to do the CAPTCHA. That's where you enter those weird letters that nobody can read except a human, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
So no problem. So what the pornographers or what the bad guys do is they set up a phony porn site with a CAPTCHA for you to log into it. And what they do is when you go to that site, they take a CAPTCHA from Yahoo, put it there, you type it in, then they send it back to Yahoo. In other words, they've got plenty of human power. These things don't work. So what does new CAPTCHA do to change the equation?
New CAPTCHA, yeah. So and another problem with CAPTCHA is that when they try to be clever enough, humans can't read them.
I've tried to... You can't.
I've signed up for something and been like, okay, here's my CAPTCHA. That's an N, a T, a 3, an S. And I mean, I've gone over and over and over to the point where I'm like, I guess I can never sign up for an account because I can't read this. It's ridiculous. New CAPTCHA, what new CAPTCHA does is it's a video. It's an embeddable video.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. So you play the video, you get your code, and then there's a little an entry point underneath the video where you say, well, so you what was to, it that you just saw in the video?
And what
then
did you see?
That.
But they put put an ad there, don't they?
Well,
that's the problem.
Nothing's free.
You're watching a video with an ad. From the natural so there's the CAPTCHA. By the way, that's the Carnegie Mellon CAPTCHA, that at least the recapture, you know, that types in, you're typing in e-books that they couldn't read. So you get two words. Remember, you get two words, and one of them is actually a security word. The other one is from an e-book that they've scanned but can't figure out what the hell it is, so they get a human to do that, and you're helping with the e-books. At least you're helping. That's recapture. New CAPTCHA. This is a long video. So do you get an ad? I haven't seen it yet. Are people using it?
I'm not using it. In fact, this is the first I've heard of it. There's your little ad.
So you see fizzy drink.
New revenue opportunity.
All right. I hate it already.
You do.
Because it's a revenue opportunity.
This is not your answer.
No.
Well, I think that CAPTCHA is, at least for now, we need something like this. I'm glad that people are trying to figure out new and innovative ways to use CAPTCHA, but watching an ad in a video,
that's not so good.
Is not it hasn't passed the Leo test.
No. I'll tell you though, I'm not against revenue when it comes to me. That's why I want to invite you to sign up for audible.com.
Loves it.
This is the kind of revenue opportunity that benefits us all.
You know, Tom was just telling me about he uses audible.com to listen to Sword and Laser books in his car when he's commuting back and forth for Tech News Today. So that he can be up on his, I mean,
it
helps us do our jobs better.
Sarah Lane, Tom Merritt, half the staff wouldn't work here if it weren't for audible.com because they're stuck in the car driving up from San Francisco. They insist on living in San Francisco.
It is true. I know. It's such a horrible city. I don't know what I'm thinking.
What's wrong with you? No, when I had to commute to San Francisco.
Get a job at Zynga.
From here. When I had to commute from San Francisco to here, Audible saved my life.
Yeah.
I love audible.com. Since 2001, I've been a member. You can try it free right now if you go to audible.com/night. You'll sign up for the gold account. That's a book a month, and the first month's free. The first book is free, and it's yours to keep. You can cancel at any time. And there's so many good stories. There's a new John Grisham, a new Tom Clancy. But look at this. See, I know you're a romantic.
Yeah.
Love letters by...
Was that your review?
Love letters between Abigail and John Adams. I'll pass. I'll read the Keith Richards biography. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. When that comes out, I can't wait.
It's out.
Is it? Do they have it?
Yeah. It's called Life.
They have it? Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
I just saw it on the homepage.
Was it? Yeah, because I think it comes out next month, so you can pre-order
maybe,
now.
Maybe it's a pre-order thing, yeah. Now, that's much more my style. And then nothing Anita, against the Addams family.
And then Anita left me for Mick.
And they drained my blood, so I could get on the plane. Yeah.
He says some bad things about Mick. Did you see that?
No.
Can't wait to read this.
You know, when
Johnny
I dated a
Depp
guy,
narrates it.
When I dated a guy that was doing the Rolling Stones tour some years ago, you could see that Keith Richards was just tolerating Mick half the time.
Yeah.
Because I got to see some backstage stuff.
Some of these people, really, you
he
got
just,
to see
he
Keith
just wanted,
Mick?
He wanted to drink his whiskey and
stay
the heck away.
They say that after this book comes out, there's no chance the Stones will ever tour again because it's so vicious. Here is a little bit of Johnny Depp.
Of course, Johnny Depp.
Reading Life.
Here we were driving back roads in a brand new yellow Chevrolet Impala.
I can't wait to hear this.
In the whole of the United States, there was perhaps no sillier place to stop with a car loaded with drugs.
No, it is out. I am so excited. I'm adding this to my wish list right now. I wish I had an Audible credit, but you do. Go to audible.com/night.
This could be your first book.
It's not a short book. 23 hours and 9 minutes of Keith Richards and the story of the Rolling Stones. You know, everybody's going to be reading this book. You're going to be talking about it at parties for weeks to come. You will have read it because you just listen in your car, listen at the gym. When you're doing housework, anytime that your hands are busy, so you can't hold a book, but you could be listening, this is such a great choice. Audible.com. I'm adding it to my wish list right now. I cannot wait. As soon as I get a credit, and my new credits come in a couple of days, I think, I'm getting this.
I didn't know Johnny Depp was part of this whole operation. You know, Keith Richards is like a weird hero of Johnny Depp's.
He was his father. No, in Pirates of the Caribbean.
He was his father.
He's his father.
No, he just modeled his look after.
No.
Yes.
Chat room, am I wrong? Is he not in Pirates of the Caribbean?
Does Keith Richards not play
Johnny Depp's dad in Pirates of the Caribbean?
He was?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
I guess I slept through that.
Unfortunately, the story now, we don't know if this is confirmed, is that due to this book, Disney has unsigned him for the next Pirates of the Caribbean because they said, Keith Richards uses drugs?
Oh, come on, Disney. Wake up and smell the Shirley Temple.
The reason is you didn't see, and I watched half of it, and I couldn't watch the rest of it, the third Pirates movie, which was terrible.
I fell asleep in the theater.
Yeah. So we missed,
I don't like to admit that because I love Johnny, but,
no,
you know.
No, we missed the
I guess so.
The Keith Richards cameo.
There you have it.
Audible.com/night. You know, you don't have to listen to Keith Richards' new book. There are 75,000 titles.
You prefer John and Abigail's love letters, by all means. We're not going to judge you.
You convinced me. This is going right into my cart. I cannot wait. I've been dying to read this book since I've read about it the first time. Audible.com/night. Your book, first book, is free. Enjoy. You will love it. Audible.com/night. Are you ready to get our guests on and...
So ready.
Talk about Instagram.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
I think we're going to blow their egos out of the water because I love Instagram. I mean, I can't play it down.
We're huge fans. Tell us how much. As I'm calling them, will you set it up?
Yeah. So Instagram, as many of you know, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show, is kind of it's the new app phenomenon, at least in certain circles, in our circles at least. We've been lucky enough to get the founders of Instagram, who also happen to be the bourbon guys, for anybody, not bourbon that you drink.
I don't know what that means.
B-U-R-B-N is, I believe, I'll make sure to check this with them, it's a HTML5-based location check-in service. So it's not an app. But it acts like an app, and I've used it a little bit because I just like the idea of having something up. Anyway, Bourbon Guys, I tried to get them on Net at Night, maybe a couple months ago, and they said, sounds great, we're interested, but we're in stealth mode on something.
And now we know what it was.
When we resurface, it would be great, and now it's very obvious what they've been doing.
Let's welcome Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger to Net at Night. Kevin, Mike, Leo, and Sarah. Congratulations on the success of Instagram. This is what you hope for, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you work so many sleepless nights getting a product out there, and then when you finally get it out,
Mike and I had an over-under bet of what the first day's signups would be, and I guessed 2,500. He guessed a little higher than that, and it was about an order of magnitude larger than that, and it's so exciting to see something like this come together because it really means all that hard work really paid off, and now, you know, as we continue to grow, the work just gets harder and it gets different, but we're really excited to be where we are.
Had you guys done startups before, Kevin?
Yeah, yes. So, I mean, Mike can talk a little bit about his background, too. I worked at Google for about, 2.5 years. Did marketing on Gmail there for about a year and then worked in corporate development for a year. And then went to a company called NextStop that actually shared that office you were talking about before at 650 Towns.
You're kidding.
No, not at all. So I understand that area very well, and it's not exactly the safest, right?
No.
But I was there for about a year, and at the end, I had been toying around with stuff on the weekends in the mobile browser and made something called Bourbon, which was basically going to be a cross between Mafia Wars and Foursquare, and gave it to some friends, and they ended up using it in a very different way than I had assumed, and went out and talked to some investor friends, and they said, you should just go off and do this and figure out if you can focus the experience on one thing and do it really well. And that's what Mikey and I did. And we focused on photos specifically. And, it was a hard decision at the time because you never want to cut your favorite parts of a product. But by the end, and we gave it to a few friends and they absolutely loved it. But we had no clue the experience was going to be this way. What do you say, Mike?
Yeah, I was coming from Mebo, so I spent a year and a half there. It was like the first startup that I joined, and the people there, the co-founders, were a huge inspiration. I was like, they can do it. Like, they look like they're having fun. They don't sleep much, but you know, that's okay. And in about May, I came up and joined Kevin here in the city. And I can't believe it's only been like 4 or 5 months, I guess, since then.
I mean, how, within a week to have signed over 100,000 members, and I actually took a picture of a TechCrunch article on that about Instagram, which I'm sure both of you saw. But it's like,
yes,
that kind of ramp up is something that a popular service like Foursquare, I mean, took many months to get to that number. I mean, how do you even, is it Twitter? How do you think it got passed around so quickly?
So I have a couple of theories. And the first is that I think photos are basically a universal language that everyone speaks. And it's not a new concept that you have to sell to someone. Like, everyone loves taking pictures, right? Like, we all do it on our mobile phones, even without Instagram. Even if you have a feature phone, you typically snap little pictures here and there. It was something that was so incredibly accessible, I think, to people that immediately grabbed their attention when not only could you take a picture, but you could also modify it and improve it in some way and make it something really cool you wanted to share with your friends. And then on top of that, having the ease of just sharing out to, I think you said there were like 5 services, right? Having the, you know, ease of blasting your 5 services that you would have had to go each individual one and do one at a time. I think that really spoke to people and met an unaddressed need that people didn't really know they had until we came onto the scene. But honestly, you know, I don't think Mike or I know exactly what happened along the way.
You guys remember very well, I'm sure, Moblogging. I know Sarah and I were both on America.
We were very heavy Mobloggers back in the day.
It was back in the day, 3 years ago. It was huge, and then just kind of fell off the face of the earth.
Well, because the Flickers came around, and they had more of a robust way to share pictures, but then save them, and there was a social networking element.
Yes. You guys are aware of Moblogging, right, Kevin and Mike? I mean, how is this different? I mean, really, you take a picture with your camera phone. I'll tell you one thing that's immediately different is these filters. And, you know, it's 12 filters, something like that.
I think they're 11 today,
11.
Yeah.
You know, they're frames. They change the color. There's a Lomo, you know, filter for people who want those old Russian camera looks. There's a couple of black and white filters. I have to say, one of the things that makes – I think filters might be part of the secret sauce because – even bad pictures end up looking pretty good.
They do.
It's so true. And I think what we've noticed is, at least, you know, Mike and I have a lot of friends that have written in and said, all of a sudden when they get to a place, no longer are they thinking, oh, I have to check in immediately. Their first thought is, what can I take a picture of that might look interesting? And that's really cool, right? Because you can take a picture of your latte that might have looked kind of grainy and weird, and all of a sudden it looks really cool and hip. And And part of our job here is really just, I mean, we looked at mobile photos and we said the biggest problem in mobile photos is that they don't look so great.
Right.
So what can we do to give them an edge that makes them feel like, you know, you sat in Photoshop for, call it 4 hours or whatever, but really all you did was press a button.
I don't know. Well, and also, you know, anybody who's familiar with photo apps, I mean, I love photo apps. It's one of my favorite things about apps in general.
Since Instagram, I've bought like another dozen photo apps to play with.
Exactly, because then what, and I think some folks who use Instagram and get the general sense of it go, yeah, but these filters are going to get old. But you can port in any picture you want. I mean, you don't even have to apply any of the Instagram filters if you don't want to. So I guess that takes the pressure off of you guys to come up with more filters, or are you working on that?
That's a good question. We don't see ourselves as a filter company. We're sharing beautiful photos on the go. Right. And one of our earliest users was Chris Messina. And one of his first posts when we went public, he had this little, like, he showed a folder he had on his iPhone 4 that had all the different camera apps he had downloaded, like Diptyk and the one that puts like circles over your face, whatever that one is called.
He made me download Diptyk again because he's used it so creatively and so effectively.
Diptyk is a good one.
Yeah.
Kevin caved in and bought it too the other day.
Yeah, I did.
But I mean, I think we're definitely going to evolve the photo filters that we have there now and see which ones get used and which ones don't get much love, and keep adding to it. But it's great that people can bring in whatever they really want.
Well, Sarah's already posted a picture of you guys on here.
Well, they look good.
So just
how many likes does it have?
Well, not just starting. She just did it. But what's interesting about this is you do have a Foursquare check-in capability.
That's correct.
You could check in to you can do all five if you want. Twitter, Facebook,
Tumblr,
Foursquare, and Flickr.
And Flickr.
Now, one thing, we should add, then you've added a nice feature that most mode blogging didn't have, which was the ability to like a picture. I'll just
like
press the
comment.
Like button. And then to comment on it. And so that's stimulated a lot of social traffic around these pictures.
I think, Leo, that's also that's a really big distinction. Mode blogging was go to my site and, you know, comment if you want. This is, you can have your own social network within Instagram that never gets sent to Twitter if you don't want it to. I mean, I've got friends who don't even have that many Twitter followers and have become kind of big Instagram hits.
You need
because
to do
they're good. They've got good eyes.
And then you also got this popular thing, which is You know, our net is slow here, so I apologize.
It's
but this is like Flickr's popular. This is one of the features of Flickr that people really like, and it's a great discovery tool because, well, all of these pictures are stunning, and you pick one, you say, "Wow, that's a great picture. Who took that?" Oh, Max California. And now I can click Max and I can see more about him and I can follow him if I want.
Right.
And then he's added to your feed, very much like Twitter. He's added to your feed of people that you follow on Instagram. So whenever he posts a picture, it'll add it to my feed. It's a mashup of a lot of the best in other social networks, isn't it? Obviously, you guys are doing that, right?
I think really what we looked at was when we wanted to create a social experience on the go around photos, we looked and we cherry picked the things we saw in other social networks that we thought would really benefit in a photos sphere, right? And I think the follow model is just something you don't really see with photos specifically.
Right.
And that really caught our attention because like what we imagine is a world more connected and transparent through photos. So imagine like, you know, the first day we launched, remember, Mike, we were sitting there and it was like Wednesday night, we were exhausted and really excited, but we saw outside our window, we're here at Dogpatch Labs in San Francisco, and we saw the Giants game going on. And I said, Mike, you want to run a query and see how many photos were taken at that Giants game in the last hour? And there were like 150 photos or something taken there in the last hour. And that's when we realized very quickly how powerful this can become in terms of discovering what's going on in the world around you.
And by the way, there's a lot of meta going around this show right now.
I mean, people are watching us
and commenting on the picture. Yeah.
You guys, I've got to ask, because one of the reasons that Instagram has caught on, not just because it's fun to use, is you guys have figured out a way to make everything load really quickly. Now, like I said before, I've used photo apps. There are a lot of photo apps that I enjoy. Nothing loads as well, especially when you're talking about filters and loading other people's, you know, photos in my stream, as Instagram does. What is the secret?
I think two things. One is like we spent a lot of time. Kevin's phone for the longest time was like an iPhone 3G, the black original or second generation one. And it was our performance metric. So if it didn't look good and work well there, we're like, okay, we got to make this faster, which meant cutting features. And it meant like some nights where, you know, we're watching like Apple's performance tools and trying to get like an extra 5 frames per second on the photo scroll, et cetera. And I think that really paid off because if it works pretty well on the 3G, it's going to work really well on the iPhone 4.
So you don't require a 4 or even a 3GS. You'll work as low as the iPhone 3G.
As low as the first iPhone.
Really?
Actually, we we had friends with, I won't try out your beta until it works on iPhone on iOS 3. And I'm really glad we work on iOS 3, also wouldn't work on the iPad right now.
Right.
And like some of them had old phones, and if we can support them, we do. I'm
using
know,
it
like,
on the iPad. The only drawback with the iPad, of course, is no camera, but you see it pulls up my photo album, and I can take
it. If you're syncing regularly, it's not too much of an issue. So what is the next step for the web component of Instagram? Because that's one of the places where, you know, I'll go, somebody will send me a link via Twitter.
Yes.
I'll go over to their Instagram page. I'll say,
us.
Ooh, she's got 800 followers. How many do I have? And I've got to go back to my app to see all that information. I can't do that via the web.
You guys basically require people use the iPhone.
That's true.
You cannot browse people's pictures anywhere but the iPhone. You can only see one picture at a time. You can use the web to change your setup. But I have a related issue, which is I'm a little concerned. Even when I post to Tumblr or Facebook, my pictures are stored on your servers.
Right.
So this is a two-part question. Are you going to add, you know, better web integration? And when can I get my pictures out? Because I don't want you to be the only source of these pictures.
Absolutely. So first I'll say absolutely yes. There's no question that a web interface is coming. The question then becomes when and in what form. And I think, so to be very clear, Mike and I are two people working on a product that has grown to now 300,000 in a little less than 3 weeks.
Wow. And,
yeah.
It's congratulations. So you didn't. Nuts. You haven't let up. It's 100,000 a week.
It's accelerating
faster, yeah.
Oh, my God.
No wonder Mike hasn't stopped smiling through this whole interview. He's like the happiest dude right now.
Oh, congratulations, guys. That's you deserve it. You definitely deserve it.
We keep telling ourselves, you know, to calm down, don't worry. You know, it's a press thing. Like, there's a lot of press going on around it. It'll slow down.
You got the big early adopters, the Scobles.
Yeah,
of the world
yeah.
to use it, and that makes a big difference when you come out of the
but
gate.
But you know what really makes a difference? Like, I think there are a lot of products that put people on their boards or, you know, just have them tweet out about it. We don't have a single advisor yet. I mean, of course we have informal advisors, but I think the difference is that, like, these people really love using the product.
Yep.
And you can get an intro through an advisorship or through someone you know, but they'll only keep using it if they actually really love it. And that's been really inspiring to both of us to continue working. But the point really I want to make is that we're two people trying to scale up. So if any of your viewers or engineers that want to work with us, please do send an email to jobs.
You might know some dig engineers.
There's some dig guys who might know a little about Cassandra, things like scaling. You know, they might be able to help you with that.
Absolutely. So a web interface is certainly coming. And the question is it going to be a browse experience from the beginning, or is it going to be an easy way to manage and access your own photos and perhaps see the photos of others? But from the beginning, I think we want to remain a mobile-focused company because we believe that's where the opportunity is.
I think you're right.
Because, I mean, there are plenty of people, you know, through the web browser that allow you to look at photos, browse photos. Really, what's unique about Instagram is you see photos happening around the world as they happen.
Look at this. Here's Kevin Rose posting from the Dig All Hands meeting. His point of view looking out at the 37 people left. And, I mean, that it's very timely. A lot of this stuff is really timely. And because of the people you've got, this is instantaneous. It's amazing.
Kevin, you also, you mentioned around the world, and I have noticed that also.
Isn't that amazing?
With
how
a lot of the folks.
Japan, China, Korea.
I see a lot of Cyrillic in some of my comments. It doesn't seem like, I mean, I think it would be easy for someone to go, ugh, this is one of those valley fad things. It seems pretty global.
How did that happen, guys? Do you know?
Kevin and I have an internal alarm clock. We wake up at 5 in the morning every morning now because that's when Japan starts, like, really picking up. It's 9 p.m. over there, and our usage just goes through the roof. So we have, like, I think a lot of services have, like, the curve that mostly follows U.S. daylight.
Right.
But we have this crazy, like, oh, Japan's going to bed and they're all, like, Instagramming their photos.
No, I've noticed that because I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll look at the popular photos in the middle of the night. And it's all from around the world. And that's kind of fun, by the way. If you're up in the middle of the night, it's a whole different set of photos.
Absolutely.
So how did you get that adoption, that global adoption like that?
I like to say that photos are, like, they're a universal language that anyone can speak. And they don't require you
to
speak Russian or Japanese. To see a beautiful photo is something that moves anyone. And
I think that really, like, you know, I think people overseas, they're being so wonderful to us because they can't necessarily read the language in the interface, but they're figuring out how to use it. Part of that is just doing good usability. And part of it is just being image focused. But what really excites me is how much usage we're getting overseas and how wonderful the photos they're taking are and how it's so moving to subscribe to someone in Tokyo and watch their life as it happens through their eyes. And that's just something that's never been possible before in a visual way. And I think that's really what I see Instagram becoming in the future, is allowing for more transparency and connections with people you don't necessarily know, but can see what's going on around the world.
That's a lovely vision, yeah. So how are we going to be able to get our pictures out of here?
Absolutely. So so first I'll say, like, all of our photos are stored with Amazon on S3.
Oh, it's S3. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Right. That's so reassuring. Yeah.
It's absolutely reassuring. And we went with them partially because of their redundancy and their ability to, like, have uptime. And, you know, for the fact that we don't have to deal with that much storage on our own. But, you know, you're going to be able to access your photos through the web very soon. And we absolutely are not trying to keep them away from you. It's a matter of trying to keep the servers
up. Of course,
up.
I understand.
Poor Mike is up there at 3 a.m. And, like, I like to say our 5 o'clock shadow happens at, like, noon now. So,
but know, and the other thing I should point out is, and you have a setting for this in Instagram, all the pictures are saved locally. So you're not, you know, the pictures are not going somewhere else only. That's you right. have them, if you set it this way, you have them on your phone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can have it save the original as well. Yeah, yeah. And there was a bug in the 1.0 that we fixed in the upcoming release that makes sure every photo that you take that you want to get stored definitely gets stored. So it's definitely not in our best interest to hoard your photos. Just make it easier to get them out there.
Now, I have a pet peeve.
Go on. Shoot.
I wonder if it's going to be my pet peeve. But you go
ahead. Exactly.
You guys know, Sarah, it's all the same. There's all these people posting non-iPhone photos on here. They're photos from their library. Mm-hmm. You can tell. And and I wish to heck. Well, I mean, it's just a etiquette thing.
I don't. You're saying you don't think they should be allowed to do that?
No, because I've done it. I just did it just now.
Well, I'm not saying
you shouldn't be allowed to, but it's a little deceptive when I go to popular, and most of these were taken with SLRs.
But as you know, like you just said, I mean, the front facer on the iPhone 4, you take a terrible picture up your nose, add a filter, all of a sudden it looks really artsy.
I know, everything looks gorgeous.
There's really no account
for... Is that your pet peeve? What's your pet peeve?
Mine?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't so much a pet peeve, it was just, I know that I'm asking for a great number of people when I ask, any love for Android coming soon?
Oh, that's not a pet peeve, but... I wonder if you guys knew about this. There's a program that I use called PICPLZ, Pick Please. Mm-hmm. It's actually, obviously, they know about you because they've modified it considerably to add like, commenting, popular. They've done a lot of the things you guys are doing.
So I'd say in the photo world, there are, you can count them on 10 hands, the number of people doing similar stuff in this space. And I would not say we were the first by any means. Like, filters, you know, were done by Hipstamatic well before we even, you know, took a look at this space.
But I like your set of filters, by the way. Good choices.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Appreciate
choices.
It. We worked very hard on them. Yeah. And in fact, we made about, 30, Mike?
Yeah, we cut a lot, basically.
I think you have
that didn't look quite right.
Yeah, you wouldn't want too many because already I spend half an hour going through all the filters to see which one makes it look the best.
Yeah, it's we worked really hard on making it fast to see filters. Like a lot of the other guys out there, I love Hipstamatic and I actually think their filters are beautiful. It just takes me a while. And when I'm in a restaurant with my girlfriend, you know, I don't want to do it for like 3, 4, or 5 minutes while I figure out exactly the right combination I have to choose beforehand. But I also understand where there's a total group of people that they love that stuff and want to tweak all the knobs. And I'm one of those. I just realized that on the go, I wanted to be able to just tap, tap, tap and be able to have it happen very quickly.
And in fact, once you've created a filter, it's instant then to go back to the filter. So
that's correct.
Yeah.
How do you start monetizing this? Do you add special filters that we can buy if we so desire?
Ooh, I like that.
Filters that other people can't get just by signing up?
We had an idea that we were going to go out the door with a couple paid filters. We ended up not doing that for a bunch of reasons. But I think the opportunity here is not in selling a couple filters and hoping that becomes the next biggest billion-dollar business in social. Mm-hmm. instead, I think the opportunity is to really try to get as many people using this as possible on other platforms like Android, like you mentioned, absolutely top of our list. And in fact, you know, if there are any Android developers listening, please do write in because, you know, we're excited to get onto those other platforms.
I have to say, though, you have an advantage because the iPhone camera is so good.
It really is. And also, like, you know, at least among my friend group, you know, a lot of people are very, you know, into art and very into design. And that helps with a app that really encourages that behavior as well. But I mean, I worked at Google. I understand how many people use Android, and it's absolutely not our intention to keep off of Android. It's, in fact, very exciting to expand because that's a whole group of people that we haven't even talked to yet.
Right.
On the money front, though, like, you know, you have to get to a certain size before a lot of these models even start to make sense. So what we don't want to do is get in the way of people trying to enjoy the app in some way. But we do believe there's going to be a chance to sell premium features eventually. Figuring out exactly which ones those are and what form they take is just not a priority at the current moment. Like, the current priority is keeping the server up.
And with 100,000 new people a week, that's a big priority.
No, that's the Facebook model. Facebook succeeded because they went after numbers instead of money and Twitter. Numbers instead of money. That's what everybody, I'm sure, in the Valley is telling you. Are you guys self-funded? How are you paying for this?
I wish. We raised $500,000 total from two firms. One is Andreessen Horowitz, Mark Andreessen.
Very smart guy.
And very, very smart guy. And has been a great advisor. And the other is Baseline Ventures with Steve Anderson, who's been fantastic. One of the earlier, or maybe earliest, investors in Twitter, Aardvark, a bunch of really cool services. They've been fantastic to us.
And are you looking for another round, or are you going to sit on this for a while? Or
so one of the funny stories about this so far is we really haven't spent any of the money that we've raised. Very little, like most of it's actually legal fees to be able to raise that money. Ironically,
and isn't that funny?
Yeah. So Mike and I have been living on a shoestring, which is great for us because it means we have a lot of runway in front of us and. We're absolutely going to look to expand at some point, but Mike and I, in our conversations, I think our goal right now is hiring and expansion and scalability.
I can't believe it's just two of you.
Yeah, we can't either.
Wow.
And Josh has been awesome. We hired a community manager. Within a day, it was clear that the support requests and even the inbound love that we were getting and critiques were too much for both of us to handle. So. Kevin got in touch with his old friend from Next Stop, Josh, who's up in Portland, and he's been awesome for helping us talk to the community and figuring out what's important and dealing with all that.
Now, have you, I noticed when I go to bourbon.com, which is B-U-R-B-N, it's the server's down to perform some maintenance just for a few minutes. But if I go to the Bourbon Twitter account, it hasn't been updated since like mid-summer.
They're busy.
I just want to know if that is, I mean, is it still on the table? Is bourbon still going to be part of your business?
You know what happened? And Mike can actually explain this better than I can, but I will save him from reliving this experience. As we were scaling, like basically the server got crushed the first day with how many people, and we had to move the entire stack onto Amazon EC2 like overnight.
Wow.
Mike worked from 7 p.m. on a Friday night to 10 a.m. the next day, moving everything over to Amazon. And in doing that, we actually had to turn off the Bourbon service because they were both living on the same box. Believe it or not, when we launched, Bourbon was still living on the Instagram box. And it was just like we had no clue it was going to go this fast. And poor Mike lost a lot of sleep trying to do this. And, I bought Red Bull and stuff and kept us going. But we worked our best at doing it. And he's been great so far at really, I think, scaling to an opportunity that no mobile service has ever really seen before.
Awesome job, guys. Yeah, absolutely. So cool. What is your pet? What did you think our pet peeves were going to be?
I thought it was going to be the digital SLR photos. I think actually Eileen told me this yesterday. So
you had a head start. and you know, you obviously don't want to keep that off. Now, one thing you have decided obviously to keep off is adult photos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me about that.
So adult photos, I think, you know, whether it's artistic or not, just really isn't in our space. Like it's not what we're focused on.
I think it's what killed mo blogging, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as soon as the service gets that reputation, I think you saw this with Chat Roulette, it kind of kills the magic of it. Yeah. And the good news is that we haven't really had many instances of that. And if any instances of nudity whatsoever, they've always been like artistic photos that you might see on an artistic, you know, service somewhere. They haven't been lewd or anything. It's mostly been people just not understanding kind of the community guidelines and that we've set.
And good intentions too.
Sorry?
Good intentions too.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you didn't really state any community guidelines, did you? I mean, is there anywhere where it says what the guidelines are?
Take cool photos.
Take cool photos. Yeah, so we're working on a community site on the web that very clearly explains like kind of the expectations of behavior, whether it's commenting on other people and saying certain things or being nice and courteous. You look around at all the social sites and they have one of these. You're right. It's absolutely our fault for not being more clear. And with all of these people, we don't terminate their accounts. We typically ask them to remove the photo kindly as a warning.
And I think it's exactly the right thing to do. I don't want to be stumbling on stuff here because...
Well, it also simplifies things a lot because then you don't have to argue with somebody about whether something's artistic. It's just like, listen, we don't do this. This isn't what we do.
So say right now, you're saying no nudity.
No nudity right now, yes.
Okay, that's all. by the way, there's some really interesting uses of this. Josh Johnson, who I know is watching right now, really great photographer. I suspect he's a pro. Posts a picture and a photo tip every day.
I saw that yesterday. I thought that was awesome.
Isn't that neat?
Like, yeah, get in close because your iPhone is smaller than a DSLR. You're going to be able to get near the... And I did that this morning. I was taking a photo and I was like, you know, I built this thing, but like, it's awesome that I'm getting advice from people using it.
That's cool. And that's a great way to follow people that are out of your actual social space. Like, I don't care that he's a stranger. If he's giving me good photo tips, I want to read them.
I go look at Popular every single, 2 hours. and if I see something that's interesting...
So you're causing the load.
Yeah, it's me. And if I see something interesting, but by the way, I will say this: that's obviously not a DSLR photo, but a iPhone photo. You know, some pictures you couldn't possibly take with an iPhone. Right. But if somebody's posting a lot of great iPhone photos, that's a person I want to follow. I mean, that's pretty exciting.
You have a lot in common with them.
Though. Yeah, and I don't care where they are in the world. I mean, they can be. I would suspect Ivan Smirnov is in Russia, but some beautiful photos and it's really fun to follow somebody who's got an eye and get
again
some
worldwide.
Ideas.
This isn't just some valley echo chamber.
All
here.
Over the
I
place.
Mean, people really are everywhere, and that's nice.
That's been fun too because it's like a window into Tokyo.
Yeah,
You know,
we see a lot of ramen. It's
isn't
great.
That neat? Yeah, I mean, it's just this is you can see what daily life is like in Tokyo, and I wonder. I think people maybe try too hard to be artistic. I'd be just as happy to see more daily life photos.
Yeah, we would too. I think seeing like little glimpses of life for us is what's really, really exciting as well. I'm from Brazil originally, and my cousin just got married, and I couldn't be there because, you know, we're staying up all night scaling this thing. But I was getting like snaps from the wedding as it happened. Like, this is amazing. Like,
but
I guess my excuse is the reason that I'm not there, but it's also the reason I can participate a little bit.
And for a while, and this has changed, and I'm glad. The popular photos were dominated by three things: cat photos, baby photos, and Justina Zarek photos. So
Kevin keeps talking about we're adding flagging in the next release so people can flag copyrighted photos.
Cat photos.
Oh, come on. I've got two cats. What else am I going to take pictures of?
I think cats are fantastic. I think the idea is that you don't want to see cats over and over again necessarily.
What's the algorithm for popular?
That's a good question. That's going to remain secret sauce because there are people out there trying to figure it out.
Gaming it. You bet. You bet.
It's a far less complicated, don't give us too much credit, it's far less complicated than you think it is. But that being said, we're adding a lot of stuff day by day to basically make sure that everyone gets a fair chance at the popular feed. And we do our best to keep cats to, you know, a certain proportion of the public. We have a bookmarklet in our browser that is called Cat Patrol, and it actually links to a dashboard that lets us...
That is awesome. Isn't that great? Companies actually have to monitor cat usage because the cats will take over.
You are just out of control.
You've heard it here. Instagram has to keep Cat Patrol. It's the best thing I've heard.
No, we love the cat photos. And I put a dog photo or two up there, too.
And baby photos.
And I just put two baby photos up there. I know.
Oh, baby photos. Kevin, our good friend Ryan Spoon, who helps run Dog Patch Labs over here for Polaris, he just had a kid. And Kevin went to the Pacific Medical Center
page followed
on
that.
Instagram, and there were like 60 babies that have been born in the last couple of weeks that people were...
Isn't that cool?
That's really awesome. Cool.
I was talking with Sarah before the show. It's hard to tell what will make something viral, but when you see it, you know it. It just hits you and you go, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I think we both I was sitting up there up in your office.
Oh,
with
I said,
you.
Have you? You got to do Instagram. You don't have Instagram? Leo goes, no, it's Instagram. And then as soon as he saw it, it took him about 30 seconds. He was like, this is the best. And you're like the biggest Instagram user
you,
I know
you
now.
You just know when something is good.
It just fits.
I had the same reaction to Twitter. I mean, you could just tell that it works. And I wish I knew what the secret sauce was. I bet you guys don't either, but congratulations on hitting
much.
It.
Congratulations very much.
Very
great
much.
Service.
You did a
it was
great
so
job.
Nice to talk to you both.
It was good talking to you guys, too. Thanks.
Do you have any tips for people who want to start a business and have it go viral? Any secrets that you think you understand now?
Well, build it as quickly as possible and ship it.
Build and iterate. Ship and iterate. Isn't that the secret these days? Absolutely.
I think far too many people spend too much time hypothesizing about what people will resonate with and not enough time focusing on one really special thing that will make their product resonate with a lot of people.
That's great.
And you just need to ship it. And honestly, we went through so many revisions before we got to this with a smaller group of people. But I think Mike and I thoroughly believe in shipping quickly and iterating.
How long was the beta for this?
It was 8 weeks from start to finish.
That's very quick. That's fast. Yeah.
Man, there's hope for us, Leo. We just got to think of a good idea.
Build and iterate. I know I can do it. So, Kevin and Mike, I'm following you both. Great job.
Cheers.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Keep on keeping on.
INSTAGRAM.
GR.AM.
If you want to go to the website. But the best thing to do is just put Instagram into your app store. We'll look for the Android app soon. I think that's something
people are excited about it.
How could you not like that baby picture?
I
think that's a great.
No, it's very nice. Very nice.
And you see what I did with my Halloween profile picture.
Yes, it's creepy.
It's
thanks for that.
In fact, I have to apologize because I posted a horror picture in my feed. I don't know if you saw it, and I think I scared a lot of people. Did you see that last night? And I really want to apologize to everyone because you're scrolling along in the feed. You know, you're looking at somebody's photos, and then this scary picture came up, and that's worse than naked people. I apologize. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Have a good Tuesday.
I am so thrilled for them. I mean, that is
me
just,
too.
Isn't that neat?
God, they're great. They're just nice dudes. Not that I didn't think they'd be nice,
no,
but
surprised.
You know, they're excited.
I'm not surprised.
They've got a hit on their hands.
Yeah, it's really
you
true.
You know, it's a service that you and I mean, it's not that we pretend to like services, but I mean, I haven't been so excited about something in a while.
Yep.
I really love Instagram.
And it's good enough that it made me start using my iPhone again. You know, I'm an Android guy, and I started taking, I literally carry my iPhone around now because I love Instagram and I love taking pictures.
You know, I have to say Instagram, it's really what the Flickr app should have been from the beginning.
No kidding. Or
and,
did they
know,
miss
because
it?
Because I'm a big Flickr user. Was that your scary?
Yeah.
I've used Flickr for years. I don't plan on abandoning it anywhere. It's where it's my big photo repository. That is really disgusting, Leo.
I know.
That is really disgusting.
I should have asked them. There's no delete button.
Well, what you should do is go to the dentist. But the Flickr app, I stopped using it completely because it was just buggy the last 10 times I tried. So I said no. But I mean, if Flickr could just figure out a way to simplify their process, because Instagram isn't doing anything that Flickr hasn't already done. It's just less complex.
If Katarina were still there, maybe.
Right.
Yahoo ain't going to do it.
They have too many people. They can't have two guys putting together a cool
app.
It doesn't work that way anymore.
It needs to be
two
people.
That's why this works, is because it's so small. Yep. Two people doing their thing, staying up all night, down in the Red Bulls, not arguing, not trying to make something perfect, just getting it out there. So kudos to you guys.
I should have asked them what drugs they use. Red Bull, you think it's Red Bull?
They mentioned Red Bull.
Yeah.
So
a lot of Red Bull.
We'll stick with that.
Yeah. Hey, real quickly, we got to wrap up because TNT is way late, and Tom Merritt will be here in just a bit to talk about the day's tech news. But our site of the night, before we go.
Our site of the night, Quiki. That's Quiki.com, Leo. And now, before we get into it, this is in private alpha, but they've given me...
So I can't use it.
They've given me an entry. You can't use it, and neither can most other folks, but I can, and I think it's so cool.
What is it?
Okay, so what I want you to do is type something like type your hometown maybe into Quiki.
I'm going to type Providence, Rhode Island. By the way, instant search, it knew right away.
Yes.
I just typed four letters.
And now there'll be sound. So let's just watch the little...
So it's going to do something.
The little, yeah. It's going to tell you.
Providence is the capital and the most populous city of the U.S. state of Rhode Island, and one of the first cities established in the United States.
I like the voice synthesis. That's very real.
Located in Providence County, it is the estimated second largest city in the New England region.
This is like Tom Cruise Minority Report or something.
It's like Robot Wikipedia. Yeah. Image search.
This is straight out of Star Trek.
Isn't it great?
Population in country,
this was...
with an estimated MSA population
wow.
of
yeah,
1.6
million. Exceeding that of Rhode Island. By
now, it's important to note.
Due to its reaching into
now, if I just say something like, Robot, tell me about Twitter.
No.
Does it do things?
You can't just talk to the website.
Let's see. I like this.
Twitter
is
a social networking and microblogging service owned and operated by Twitter Incorporated.
That's the Twitter office, in
that
fact.
Enables its users
the one
to
that they're moving
read
from.
Other users' messages.
That's the old one. So this is from, the contents from Wikipedia?
Well, it's not just from Wikipedia. It's from image searches. It's from Wikipedia. It's okay, so the idea behind Quickie is it's an interactive, almost like an encyclopedia, based on information that's already online. Now, the reason that these guys are on my radar is because a recent conference, TechCrunch Disrupt, had a winner. These guys were the winners.
Yeah.
They won the conference. And so they got a lot of attention, but they're like, we're in private alpha, we're not quite ready.
Wow.
I bugged them enough to let me at least look at it. It's not perfect. Like, I searched for myself, and it was all stuff taken off my Wikipedia page, but it wasn't really complete. So, you know, I'm supposed to be letting them know what works and what doesn't. It's not perfect for everybody. For someone like Steve Martin,
somebody famous,
great, because, yeah, like a nobody like me is just going to have some weird information.
I love the graphics that they've put in here.
Isn't it neat? Yeah, so they're in the process of building this. Again, you know, this is not something that you can just go to. You can certainly sign up. You know, go ahead
and give them your email send out an invite eventually.
So that they send you an invite when you want. But this is one to watch. I'm convinced of it. This is a really cool, I mean, think of, you know, if somebody needed to do a school project and just kind of
I'd love to see a phone version of this,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a little cliff note-y, get a background on somebody real quick.
We could start using this on the show, you know, anytime we wanted to need something.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And then it gives you related links down below here.
Other things you might be interested in based on what you've already searched for, and so on and so forth. So it's people, places, things.
But now can I click, these links are all hot, so I could follow these links.
Exactly.
And I would, interesting. So, and then it continues on.
Right.
Oh, very interesting.
Isn't that neat? Yeah, so you sort of pause and go, I want to see more about that weird Steve Martin poster. Okay, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Let's continue.
Let's see, The Tonight Show. Look at that. Isn't that neat? So that's Q-W-I-K-I. So at some point, they'll come out of beta, but they're not. They're in beta
right
now.
Yeah, I just thought,
now.
You know, it was cool enough to say, you heard it about it first here, unless you heard it at a conference.
I'd never heard
recently.
About it.
So this may be your first look into Quickie, and I think that they are going places. Mark my words, never been wrong. Used to work in a record store.
With a bullet. Sarah Lane is at sarahlane.com or go to her new About Me page. Is it all done?
About.me/Sarah Lane. It's done enough.
I've got one, but I haven't done anything. I gotta do the whole thing.
I might change the picture, add a few more links, but I like the simplicity of it. It's my new little digital business card.
It's like exactly.
Well, you know what it is? It's cuter than Google Profile, so that's what I'm thinking of using as my email sig for a while.
And you're using an Instagram picture, aren't you?
I am.
Look at that. This is great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah, for filling in. Amber McCarthy will be back next week.
Anytime.
I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned if you're watching live. Tech News Today will be on in seconds. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Net at Night.
Bye, everybody.